Get your films on with the Blurgs.
Once an idea has taken hold of the brain, it's almost impossible to eradicate.
Unpacking movies has never been more spot on, woke, fire, and just plain lit.
They are lit all the time.
So if you're unsure whether or not to plop down some cash for a film, check out the Blurgs.
When a man with a 45 meets a man with a rifle, the man with a pistol is a dead man.
Rondo's got what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
You really only need to hang, mean bastard. But mean bastards, you need to hang.
Don't say you weren't warned. Ridiculous. Here's Brandon and Jeff.
Alright, and we are doing our third special ASC episode.
Uno, dos, tres.
Three of four. We are the Film Blurgs. I'm Brandon Norwood.
And I am Jeff Stewart. We won't go through all of our AKAs. You can listen to our main show for that.
Yeah, so, Jeff, why don't you start us off on the theme and explain what the theme is
for this one? All right, so for our third entry in the ASC series, we're going to be talking about editing, and more specifically, how editing can be used to tell stories about sacrifice. Okay, and I got a couple examples, but I'm actually going to go. We're going to start with this first one, and we'll see how we feel going forward. But my example of a movie that has that editing plays a role in the theme of sacrifice is going to be the classic film, and I don't mean this like as any sort of joke or anything like that. Classic film, Star Trek II: Wrath of Khan. Okay,
I mean it's a classic for a reason.
It's a classic for a reason, right? And I was like rewatching this the other day, and I had forgotten how powerful this scene is. So the setup for it, if you are one of the three people who have never seen Wrath of Khan, you know, one of the new kids.
Pause it. Go watch the fucking movie and then come back.
Right. We'll wait. Right. So coming back, Spock. So like the warp core is busted and it's leaking radiation all over the place. Scotty's knocked out. Right, and they need to like replace this. They need to fix this before the whole entire ship explodes.
Right.
Spock goes down to the engine room, and you know, like I said, Scotty's knocked out. Doesn't have time to put a suit on, so he just walks into the warp core room, and you know, does what he has to do. Knowing that he's going to be exposed to a deadly amount of radiation.
Right.
And so what I'm going to talk about here is how there is a brilliance and subtlety in the way that this is edited, as in it is very minimal. All right. The composition is great. It's always a two shot. All right. So you have Kirk on one side of the glass, on the outside of the glass, and you have Spock on the containment field. And it's always this, medium two shot. Right. And it just cuts between these two shots. All right. They never go to close up. Right. They never, they never deviate from this, right? And it stays on this agonizing goodbye so long that you feel it, right? It's just watching Spock die from Kirk's perspective, and then Spock looking at his friend from that perspective, and you know, they always say overshoot, you know, right? You never know what you're like. You never know what you're going to need. This simple two shot and the way it's paced and the way that it just, it lingers it really hits home, you know, the idea of like the finale of this. I mean, we'll know in you know, he comes back in the next movie.
Search for Spock.
But like in that moment when there's like before everything was super sequelized, like this was a goodbye to Spock. You know, this was a fucking gut punch. I'm sorry, I'm cursing. You know, for those of you who don't listen to the show, we curse a lot. And I'd never thought of it that way before, right? I had never looked at the editing of it, because we've said this before, editing is an art form, but it's an art that you should never notice, right? Like you should never see good editing. It should just be there, right? And I had never noticed this before until like we had this assignment, right? The fact that it's a simple two shot that just, I think there's maybe like four cuts, like shot, reverse shot in that whole entire scene. And it's just beautifully done. And it shows that, you know, as much as all the other aspects of a movie, acting, you know, composition, lighting, you know, music, editing, can turn like a good performance into a great performance.
Yes.
Right? And now looking at it, you know, at that lens, you're looking at how simple it is. If they had done anything more, if they had cut to close-ups, right, of like the anguish on Kirk's face, or the sadness in Kirk's face, if they had cut away from this two shots, the two shot, it would have taken away from the scene, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's deliberate. That's stuff we don't really see in a lot of modern films. It's like we're kind of quick to cut.
Yes, yes.
You know,
it's ADD filming,
right? Like we're quick to cut to like, all right, well, to like a close up or like a wide or everything like that. It's just like sometimes you just have to let the scene play, and so sometimes the absence of editing is more powerful in this case than, you know, your basic, like, okay, close up over the shoulder, you know, like cut here, cut there type thing. So yeah, I mean, that's a perfect example of how that thought process, the way that was edited, sort of really punctuates that idea of sacrifice, that sparseness.
Right. I'll jump into mine and then we'll jump back into your second one,
right?
Because I thought of a second one.
Okay.
So very quickly, and you, I want you to contribute to this one too, because I know you've seen this movie.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The first one's my favorite out of the whole trilogy. The Fellowship of the Ring, which is the first part of the Lord of the Rings.
Saw that five times in the theater.
Saw it six, you know, back when they still did film prints.
Right.
There's two sacrifices in this movie. The one I was thinking about, because I forgot about the first one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The second one I'm thinking about is that occurs at the end of the movie with Boromir. And what makes this sacrifice good through editing is just the look of anguish on everybody's face and just how dire the situation is. Because throughout that whole sequence, you're cutting back and forth between actions in different parts of the woods because everybody's now scattered out, and it's desperate. And Boromir redeems himself. That's what's most important in his sacrifice. He redeems himself and he saves Merry and Pippin. And it cuts back and forth between Merry and Pippin's reactions and then the close-up of Boromir's face. And all you hear is the thwip and thunk of the arrow hitting his chest. It is painful. It is extended because they want you to feel this great weight of emotion and what's going, everybody's going through. this is just masterfully done, man. Like, do you want to add anything?
Right, like, it's a perfect example of, like, when you talked about, like, you don't see the arrow. You just hear.
Right, because you only see the first one.
Right. And, you know, it's a perfect example of, like, the reverse of show, don't tell.
Yeah
right? This is sort of like, it's the sound is informing.
Yes, because the sound does drop out at one point.
Yeah, you know? And I think when it comes to, like, scenes of sacrifice and stuff like that and editing, you know, the rule, like, the common rule is, like, come in late, leave early, right? But to make an impact, sometimes you have to stay late, you know? Sometimes letting it linger. I know that's the, you know, that's knowing that a great editor is behind that, like, that understands pacing and that understands, like, sometimes you have to let it breathe.
Well, let's even talk about the first sacrifice that happens a little earlier in the film, which is Gandalf. Gandalf sacrifices himself to save the rest of the Fellowship for when he goes to fight the Balrog, because the Balrog got the best of him and pulled the last minute zigzag. Right. I just remember now thinking about it, how you have that close-up of Gandalf's face, the look of surprise, and then the immediate just, it switches to
the realization.
Like, this is it.
Yeah.
I gotta do this. And I love how when it cuts to Frodo and Aragorn, the frame speed drops a few seconds, so it's a little bit slow motion, but not slow motion. Mm-hmm. And again, this is another sacrifice where the sound drops out briefly.
Right.
Perfect.
And that's the perfect example of, like, how it's just not, like, it's, even though we're doing this because of the visual component of things, but it's a perfect example of how everything.
Well, I mean, you have to edit sound.
Right. Everything adds.
Right.
To a scene.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like you said, you're also editing sound. You're all, as you know, when it comes to that, you know.
And both of these have emotional weight to it, just like, you know, Spock sacrificing himself in Wrath of Khan. These also have, I mean, they're both gut punches. I remember seeing this movie for the first time. I'm like, this is the first movie, and we just killed two of the biggest characters in the first movie. So, like, once you get to the end and the credits start rolling, you don't know what's going to happen next. And I think that really sets the stakes up for 2 and 3, especially you watch basically the star of the movie, because Gandalf at that point, he was like your favorite character.
Right.
He's gone. And then you got the one that you weren't too, how could I say this? Weren't too favorable to.
Right.
He redeems himself and then is immediately killed.
Yeah, you know, so.
This was Game of Thrones before Game of Thrones.
Before that last season, yes.
So.
Moving on.
But why don't we get into your second example that you picked before we go back to mine.
All right, so my second example of editing and sacrifice, and I'm not going to apologize for this at all. I am a Michael Bay fanboy, right? Normally, you would not talk about a Michael Bay film when it comes to any sort of restraint when it comes to the edit, right?
Right.
By no means is he a subtle editor. But in this movie, Armageddon,
right,
his rock and roll style kind of really works for the sacrifice that Bruce Willis's character has to make at the end of it, right?
Right.
So we're talking about the scene where he's saying goodbye to his daughter. Okay. At the end of the movie, if you don't know Armageddon, go out there and watch it. It's a trash masterpiece. Like, I will defend Armageddon forever, man.
It has not aged well, it is still entertaining. The movie's first 15 minutes is a normal movie's last last 20.
Then. Yeah. So the story is they're on the comet. Everybody is about to evacuate. The trigger for the nuclear device that they have inserted, like an enema, into the comet is not going to work. So they can't fire it remotely. So someone has to stay behind, and you know, Bruce Willis is right there. So he's saying goodbye to his daughter on Earth, and he's like this long sort of goodbye missive, and it was always kind of poignant for this type of movie when I was watching it. But now looking at it through this lens, it's all singles, right? Because it's him saying goodbye and saying good things about his crew. And it never does a wide shot to like everybody on the space shuttle. It's always a single on Will Patton, or always a single on Ben Affleck, or you know, even a single. Right.
Sorry to cut you off, but Ben Affleck too. He's given a great performance there.
Right,
like you feel his pain, like shit, man.
Like Armageddon, man. Like I fucking love that movie. All right, but it cuts back to this single on Liv Tyler, right? And it just kind of shows the. Sort of, I don't want to say isolation, but like he is, even though he's radioing and everybody can hear what he's saying, it's the way it's singling in on everybody and everyone's personal kind of connection to this man saying goodbye
to Harry. Yeah.
To Harry, it kind of like made me tear up, right? And as, it's as subtle and as nuanced as a Michael Bay film is ever going to get.
Right.
It kind of works here. And then beyond that, when the space shuttle is off and Harry hits the button, it's just a rapid fire sort of montage of his life. It's literally his life flashing before his eyes, right?
Right.
Like it's his daughter growing up. And also her moving forward, marrying Ben Affleck's character and shit like that. And that rapid fire pacing of those images cut with the sound of the comet breaking apart. And it's like boom, 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 right? And it's affecting, you know? And that is the best Michael Bay moment in a Michael Bay film right there. That little small, like rock and roll, sort of like rapid fire imagery, but rapid fire sound, and then white light, world saved, and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you would never think that a movie like Armageddon, and especially with his rapid fire way of like, the camera can't stay still for more than, you know, 30 frames, would work and sort of like informing and impacting this like moment of sacrifice.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to get into my second and last example, which nobody's going to be surprised by that I picked this. I'm going to be Dune.
Yep.
And the one sacrifice in a movie that has many, the one that stood out to me is probably a lot of people's favorite character, Duncan Idaho. That sucks.
Spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't, the three people who haven't seen Dune.
Yeah, man. The cuts between Timothy Chalamet's wails and between Duncan going down, and you just... What I love about it is about the editing between the back and forth between those two is that it stays in character for both of them.
Right.
Because it's established how close they are. And then it's also established just how strong, because you hear about it throughout the movie. Now you finally get to see just how strong Duncan is on his own.
Right, right.
Because they established like the dudes he's fighting, the Sadakar, those are tough bastards to kill. And he kills about 10 of them before he finally gets taken down. Yeah, the way it cuts back and forth, and especially the way, because the movie's already unconventionally shot, right?
Right.
So the unconventional way of it editing back and forth between Timmy and Jason, because Jason Momoa is Duncan Idaho, just stood out to me. Like, a lot of the editing in the movie stands out to me because it's just unconventional. It honestly reminds me a lot of Lord of Rings, where you feel that loss, but that loss comes at a greater price of, yo, it's bigger than you, it's bigger than me, I got to do this.
Going back to Khan, Wrath of Khan, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Yeah, yeah, man. Damn, have you noticed these have all been like sci-fi and fantasy stories? How they do it the best, man.
I don't know what to tell you about that. Maybe we should start looking at sci-fi and fantasy
with respect,
maybe, perhaps, you know?
Because that's the genre where you could actually deconstruct stuff the most, besides horror, where you could deconstruct human nature.
Right, right.
Again, the editing between the laser coming through the door and then Duncan trying to killing the dude with the laser and then back to Timmy and Rebecca running through the hall. Like, it's perfect, man. Like, again, that comes at a vital point in the movie too, where they're just on the run and it feels claustrophobic because they are trapped. Right. You know what I mean? I mean, both literally and figuratively. Yeah. And so, I mean, fuck, man.
Like, we're talking about, like, all these movies with sacrifice, and, like, you start thinking about them. I was like, oh, man, I'm sad. I need a hug. Right?
Well, it's not even that. It's just, like, these are fucking movies I love, man. And I didn't even think about them like this, in this way, until we got this assignment.
Right. And here's the thing. That's the great thing about film and everything like that. It's an emotional response.
Yeah.
You know, you watch a film, you should feel something.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and, you know, you delve deeper, you know why you feel it. You know, like, you can examine, like, all right, well, the lighting choices here and stuff like that. But beyond that, like, a great movie is supposed to make you feel something.
Right, right, right.
And that's why movies are fucking magic.
Well, this is also why I say maybe every movie needs to be seen twice. Because I watch it as just a first time as a viewer. Let's see how the story plays out. Let's see how the acting and everything else. And then the second time, maybe I go back to watch the story again. But usually the second time, it's me being technical or me being performance-wise.
Right.
And I, like, you really dig into the minutia of the film.
Right. And that's why we need to start treating film more like art instead of just a consumable
product.
Because it is art. You just don't look at a Basquiat once, right? You look at it multiple times and you'll get multiple different emotional responses.
I mean, even Basquiat's becoming products and content now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm guilty of it too. I bought some shirts that have Basquiat's paintings on it, you know, but it's just like, it's American capitalism, right?
There we go. All right. Everybody else needs to start looking at it like art. We look at it like art. Everyone else needs to start looking at this stuff as an art form.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
And you will see the beauty and the craftsmanship that is put into it.
Yeah, yeah. And editing is a big part of that.
Right. Like, I'm glad that editing is finally getting, like, some big ups when it comes to these awards.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's the invisible art. You know, like, you should not see good editing.
Good editing can also make you feel disoriented too. Because there's times where I've watched a movie where it's been purposely edited to be disorienting or surreal.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or even at the same time, both disorienting and surreal.
There we go. Big up to all the editors out there. We love you.
Yeah, shout out to all y'all. Shout out to
the DPs.
Yeah,
we,
man.
You know we love you.
Shout out to the grips, man.
Rich, it's Genie, let's fucking Crafty, fucking big up to anyone who makes a fucking movie.
Yeah, man, and like, shout out to the AC, because listen, you focus pulling is what helps keeps everything in focus, because we won't be see shit without you ACs. So shout out to y'all too.
We We love you.
All right, and that's our third ASC episode.
Peace.
We're the Film Blurred. I'm Brandon Norwood, and I'm the motherfucking protagonist.
I'm the protagonist.
I'm Jeff Stewart, a.k.a. He Who Remains.
Don't come at us. It's just fucking movies.
You've been listening to the Film Blurs podcast.
Man, I just love what you guys do, man.
I never miss an episode. It's the best.
It's my favorite podcast.
Follow Jeff on IG on MindFireXL and Brandon on Twitter at BJNTweets.